is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. Hi, my name is Louisa Beal, and I am one of more than 200 volunteers with Aid Northwest. Many of them volunteer at the Welcome Center, which is an RV and a couple of tents outside the release gate of the Immigration Detention Center on the Tide Flats in Tacoma. Here is the monthly statistical report for June 2022. In June, we greeted 221 immigrants who were released from detention and helped them reach their relatives all over the country. We provided overnight accommodation to 28 people at our hospitality house. We gave out 30 coats and 180 backpacks to the people released. Our volunteers provided 215 rides to release detainees to the airport or to the airport bus. And for those inside the detention center, volunteers wrote 80 letters to detainees, and we provided $20 in phone funds to 70 immigrant detainees. All in all, Aid Northwest volunteers gave 900 hours during the month of June. This work is so rewarding. If you'd like to join us, please fill out a volunteer application on our website at aidnorthwest.org. That's AIDNW.org. Now, I have three reports from our volunteers last month. First, from the Welcome Center. 15 guests visited the RV today, including two women. They were from Romania, India, Colombia, Cuba, Peru, Mexico, Nepal, Brazil, and Guatemala. We took two to Hospitality House. An attorney was working with one to secure a ticket for the following day, and the other will be picked up by an out-of-state friend tomorrow. Our efficient team, Janet, Bill, Isabella, and Avriel, worked with the remainder of the guests, and we were able to secure tickets for tonight or tomorrow. Tickets were confirmed and boarding passes printed out. Three volunteer drivers made several trips to the airport bus. We cleaned up and headed out at 6 o'clock. Another report from the Welcome Center. 19 lucky people, 18 men and one woman, released today. They are from Peru, India, Guatemala, Brazil, Mexico, and Uzbekistan. We were expecting only 10 releases, but 9 others were released after court proceedings. Despite East Coast flights getting booked and then canceled, we got everyone off to an appropriate destination by 9:15. One frustrating thing that happened is we'd get someone booked but couldn't get the final confirmation from the airline. We had 3 new volunteers who got to see what it's like when it's busy. And another report from the Welcome Center. 15 visited the Welcome Center from Ukraine, Jamaica, 4 from Peru, 3 from Senegal, 2 from Colombia, Costa Rica, Zimbabwe, Guatemala, and Russia. The last guest came out around 5 o'clock, and we were able to close up by 7:15. Thank you to our wonderful volunteers, Sam, Christine, Deborah, Jan, Michelle, Avriel, Kirk, Wendy, and drivers Charles and Tom. Volunteers work tirelessly to secure flights, tickets, and transport for our guests. Many tickets were outrageously priced, $1,300 to Chicago tonight. So 5 guests are spending the night at the airport for morning flights. 2 chose to pay for an airport hotel, and 2 guests are at the hospitality house until Thursday or Friday. I am so honored to work closely with the volunteers and support the guests. The abundance of appreciation by these brave, newly released individuals was clearly evident as they departed with hugs and genuine gratitude. And you are welcome to join us at our next community meeting, which will be Wednesday, July 20th, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. on Zoom. The topic will be Asylum at the Border, and we have the author of MPP, that's Title 42, MPP as a Microcosm, What's Wrong with Asylum at the Border and How to Fix It. The guest speaker will be Dr. Yael Shaker, who is Deputy Director for the Americas and Europe of Refugees International in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join us, send an email to officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. That's officevolunteer, all one word, at aidnw.org. And a Zoom link will be sent to you. This is Louisa Beal, and I am here with Catherine Nile. So, Catherine, what do you do with Aid Northwest?
Hi there, Louisa. Nice to be able to talk to you here. I am the visitation coordinator for Aid Northwest, and what I do is, well, right now, visitation's just started back up again. But really what I do have been doing over the past couple years while visitation was shut down is I've been answering the hotline and kind of coordinating the pen pal program. We have a lot of people call on our hotline. They call my phone is, the hotline's rerouted to my phone, and also goes, some calls also go to the office. And people call for phone funds. They call to get a pen pal. They also call for deportation bags, which is something that we provide for people who are being deported. And they call to ask questions, and they call, some of them just call to talk.
The visitations program, what was it like before the pandemic shutdown?
And we had a pretty vibrant visitation program. We had a lot of people going in and out, visiting with a lot of people. And many of the people that we visited for an extremely long time. We had some people who had been in there for 5 years, some people who had been in there for a year or two. And so we had built up a pretty nice friendship with a lot of people inside. And we would go in, we'd go in usually once a week, and sit down and talk on the phone through glass, and you would talk to the person you're visiting with. Yeah. Now it's very, very different. So as I said before, it started back up again, but it's the schedule is really quite bonkers. It used to be that we would go in according to the person's security level. So if they were, blue security level, we would visit on this day. If they were a red security level, we would visit on a different day and a different time. Now we're visiting according to the pod, which is the little group of people that are incarcerated together in the detention center. And so there are probably, maybe 10 different pods or more. I haven't counted them inside the facility. And so each pod gets 2 visitations that are scheduled for the week.
For the week? For the whole week?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it makes it, that makes it really troublesome also, because they're only allowed 1 group of visitors per visitation time under this new schedule. And we really want to make sure that we're not going in, in lieu of somebody's family. So if, for instance, we went in and then somebody's family checked in to try and get in to see their person, they would not be allowed in because we were in. So we really are trying to be very respectful of the family visitation times and ask the person that we're visiting, is it okay if we come in now? We want to make sure that we're not coming in instead of one of your family members. So that makes it more complicated too.
That's crazy.
And so now when we're going in, so I just went in yesterday. So you have to you go in, you check in all your stuff, which is what we did before. You weren't allowed to have pockets. You weren't allowed to carry anything in. You couldn't wear a coat. And then you would wait. You'd go through a scanner, kind of like you would at the airport. And then, you know, they'd kind of also do a check on you like they do at the airport with the wand. And this time, not only do they do that, but you also get a temperature check, you know, one of those kind of remote temperature checks. And then you fill out a form saying whether you have or have not been exposed to COVID in the past, I don't know, 7 days or so. Sign it, they write down your temperature, and then you go in. And I was the only one visiting yesterday during that time period. So,
since it's so complicated, is there an issue reaching out for volunteers to do visitation?
What we're trying to do is we're trying to transition our pen pals into being visitors. But as I said, it also is, it's even more complicated because you have to call the day of when you want to go in to visit to make sure that that pod isn't under quarantine. And if, for instance, they're under quarantine, then nobody can visit. And so we've had a number of pods in quarantine on a given day. So it makes it, you know, and I don't know, does it make it hard to get volunteers? No. But yes, I mean, it's very, very complicated, and it's just a bonkers system. And so it makes it difficult and confusing to try and, as I said before, get permission before we go in. So, but the pen pal program's working really well. And also one of the other things that we do is we bring in deportation bags for those people who are being deported. Yeah. So when people are being deported, often, you know, as with their, when they're released from the detention center to the RV, they're released in the clothes that they're wearing or were wearing when they were picked up or transferred from a different facility. In our deportation bags, when the people are deported, they're also deported in those clothes, whatever those clothes might be. They also are carrying their belongings in a plastic bag that really marks them as a person who's been deported to whatever country they're going to. So I really, I think it's a great thing that Aid Northwest does is providing these bags, which are backpacks or, kind of a duffel bag. And there'll be a pair of pants, socks, underwear, a mask, a shirt, and a jacket if they're going to a cooler climate or in the wintertime. And so at least they have something that they can carry with them and have some clothes that might fit them. You know, we've had people who've been in the detention center for 5 years who've been battling their cases and then are deported. And, you know, sometimes those clothes don't fit anymore, as we know.
It sounds like you have a number of needs on many levels.
I think that, so what we do have a need right now for coats, which I think you've heard of, coats and jackets, that are very lightweight. What they want is we want smaller sizes, and we want sizes that are, you know, a lot of the people who are released are pretty young, especially the people who are coming up from the border. A lot of them seem to be in their 20s. And so, you know, what we need are coats and jackets that are kind of, rain oriented and aren't too old looking, if you know what I mean. Not something that I would wear, something that my children would wear, right? Yeah. And, we do have a lot of money that we use in phone funds. We put, over $1,500 on people's phone accounts every month. And so we desperately need donations for phone funds. We need donations for coats and jackets. And we have the Amazon wish list. We have a lot more women in the detention center now. We have, I think, a grand total of maybe it's 12. It might be 14, and a very small number, but it's more than we've had in the past couple months. And they love yarn, and they love colorful yarn. So we've gotten a lot of requests from inside the women's facility for very colorful yarn. So that's on the Amazon wish list too.
It sounds like you still need volunteers.
We do. And you know, one of the things is we're getting a lot of people who speak Spanish. So they're coming through and they're in the detention center for maybe 1 month, maybe 2 months, and then they're kind of released. We also are getting a handful of people pretty regularly that are brought in from corrections institutions. There are a lot of people who are released from prison. And what happens is when people are released from prison, they're automatically, unfortunately, sent to detention. And we see a lot of those guys. And those guys have the deepest roots in our community, honestly. And they're fighting their cases as hard as they can, which means that they're going to be in that facility for a very long time. And so what we really need is we need pen pals who are willing to write to somebody who's high-level security. And I just really want to emphasize that the people who are high-level security have been released from prison. And they've been released because they've served their time, and they've been released because they often because of good behavior, and the prison does not see them as a risk to their neighbors. So if people are willing to write to somebody who's red level security, please get a hold of me.
Well, it sounds like that would be something that would be fairly straightforward and easy to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things I really want to emphasize is that if you're writing to somebody, we make sure that you use Ag Northwest as your return address rather than your home address, and for your own privacy and security. And then we've just started scanning the responses that you get back to you through email.
That sounds like a good system. I am amazed at what you do.
Well, thank you. It's really wonderful, and it's a wonderful organization to work with, and it's just wonderful getting to know the many, many people inside and outside of the detention center that I've gotten to know. It's really, really wonderful. And one of the things I just have to strongly say is that, you know, what we want is we want detention centers to go away. And in most cases, there's really no reason why people need to be in detention. And so I want to really strongly emphasize that. And this facility and all facilities can't go away quick enough. But also, I think that getting the word out that there's a detention center in Tacoma, I want more and more people to know about it. And I do think it's the responsibility of those of us who work and are volunteer with Ag Northwest to talk to people about the detention center and talk to people about the conditions inside the detention center. Because most people are shocked to know that somebody can come to the United States, knock on the door, and ask to be let in, and they're put in basically in a prison. And that's something very, very wrong. Something wrong with that.
Thank you for talking with me, and thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you, Louisa. I really appreciate the opportunity. I look forward to hearing from anybody who would like to write to anybody or who would like to volunteer. And if they'd like to donate, please have them get a hold of Deb Cruz.
Yes, the email for Deb is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. This was great. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Louisa. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Bye-bye.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org. You can email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.